I'm able to take these things and improve the neighborhood, but at the same time, still provide affordable housing for the people in that neighborhood. So I'm not pricing people out, right? I'm able to take something that's been a problem in your neighborhood, turn it into something beautiful, and then allow you to live in it without having to leave your neighborhood, because it's not an overpriced asset, because it's still in the single family, the small multifamily space, right?
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Henry Washington is an author, entrepreneur, and real estate investor with more than 68 rental units and dozens of house flips under his belt. He's been featured in numerous online and television publications like Fox Business Morning Show. Henry, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Hey, man. The pleasure is mine. Three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show in 90 seconds or less. Can you tell me, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Started 4 years ago. Bought my first property. It was a single family buy and hold. Right now, we're at about, I'd say about 70. I'm closing on 5 doors today. And let's see, where am I going? Was that the last part?
Yeah. Where'd you start? Where are you now? And how'd you get there?
How'd I get there? I had a panic attack. That's how I got there. I got married and realized that I was very, very bad with money and finances and couldn't afford to give my wife any of the things that she felt like she deserved. And I felt like she deserved, to say that differently. And so I knew I needed to make a change. I had a panic attack, worrying about it overnight, started Googling how to make extra money, found a bunch of articles about real estate, and decided I'm going to do that and be good at it so that I can provide a future for my family. 90 days later, I bought my first house. And then I got a line of credit on that house that gave me another $25K to go repeat the process. And we never looked back.
Now, a guy who's bad with money, right? What does a guy do who is bad with money in 0 to 90 days to find enough money to go buy his first house?
Change your mindset. Figure out how to not be bad with money. One of the first things I did was I knew I had to fix my credit. If I'm going to try to buy property at any kind of scale, I'm going to have to borrow money, and I can't borrow money if I'm not lendable. The first thing I did was I started fixing my credit. The second thing I did was I put myself around other investors. I had no idea how to do it. I just knew it sounded like I could do it well. And so the way I figured out how to do it was, I was like, I'll just find a bunch of people who are doing it where I'm at, and I'll just hang out with them until I figure something out. And so I was in every investor meetup group. If investors were in a room talking, I found my way into that room. And that gave me this network of investors. And so when I found my first deal, I didn't have any money. Just like you said, I was bad with money. I had to go find the money. Right. And I didn't know how to do that, but I surrounded myself with investors. So you know what I did? I just asked them, hey, I've got a deal. How do I find money for it? And they helped me brainstorm and figure out that I could leverage my wife's 401k, borrow against that, buy the property. The property paid us enough cash flow to cover the expenses on the house and to cover the payment for what we borrowed. And so then I had a cash flowing asset. And then the bank said, hey, you've got equity in this house. You want to take out a line of credit so that you can go do it again? And I said, uh-huh. And so we went that route.
That's absolutely intriguing. I love your answer there, the change your mindset, right? Because there's so much in today's culture that will play victim, that will play, you know, you're a product of your environment. But for you, you're saying, hey, man, you're simply a product of what you think.
That's right. 100%.
Man, that's absolutely incredible. I love that. One of the things that we've talked about here before kicking this off was the people aspect of this business. And talk to me about that. What does that mean to you and why?
Yeah, man. What I learned early on was that you don't have a business if you're not good at finding deals, right? It doesn't matter if you are going to flip houses, if you're going to wholesale houses, if you're going to Airbnb houses, no matter the disposition strategy, if you don't acquire it right, you can't do anything, right? And so that led me down a path of figuring out, okay, well, how do I find these good deals? And that led me down a path of saying, okay, you're not buying deals, you're buying situations, right? You have to find people who need to sell, not want to sell. And as I was finding these people that need to sell, what I realized was that, like, I'm truly helping people in my community out of difficult situations, right? Because if you're buying something under market value, especially in the market we have right now, where everything's, you know, going over asking, there's a 95% chance that that person is in a tough situation and has to sell quickly for some reason. And you're providing them that service because not everybody can buy a home quickly and without an inspection or, right, buying it as is, right? And so what I realized was that, like, okay, so I'm helping these people. And then I just felt this huge obligation that that's what I needed to do, regardless of whether I'm going to buy a deal or not, because these are people's homes, right? And sometimes they feel like they have to sell their home to solve whatever problem they're solving. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's not the case, right? Sometimes I'm able to help people out of a situation without having to buy their home. And I feel like I have a responsibility to do that, obviously within means. I'm not going to go broke trying to help somebody out of a tough situation. But if I have to spend a few dollars to help you with a tough situation and keep you in your home and not buy it, I'm absolutely going to do that. This is a people business. And I've just found that instead of walking into a house and saying, how do I get this deal? How do I close this deal? How do I get this deal? I walk in the house and I'm thinking constantly, like, how can I solve their problem? How can I be of service? And if I can be of service without buying your house, I'm going to do that. We've walked into houses where people, I had a lady who was trying to get me to buy her house, trying. And I told her, I was like, I can make you an offer, but you can read people. I could tell she didn't want to sell it. She felt like she had to. So like, as she's showing me around the house, like I can hear in the tone that she's bummed. And so when we got down to time to negotiate, I was like, hey, listen, I can make you an offer, but what's really the issue? What's going on here? Because it doesn't really feel like you want to sell. And what happened was they were behind on payments by a couple of months. This was before the pandemic, when they were foreclosing on people's houses, when you were missing, they weren't playing games. And they didn't need to sell their house. They needed time, right? They needed time to figure out how to stay in their house. And so I said, you know what? Instead of me making you an offer to buy your house, you let me pay your mortgage for 2 months and all your bills for 2 months so that you can stay and figure out what to do next. And I bought them time, and then hopefully they still have their house, right? And that felt like the right thing to do to me, to do, rather than me making them an offer, because she would have sold me her house.
Right.
And I just didn't feel like the right thing to do. So I'm trying to figure out how to help people. And I don't want to just make money off my community. I want to help my community. And if we can all make money together or all solve a problem and everybody wins in the situation, I'm all for it. If not, it's not for me.
Right. That's a very, I don't think I've ever heard a story like that on this show, where as opposed to going and buying the asset, you just make a payment for them and say, go get here some time. I mean, that's a very empowering position to be in. Compare that to the Henry Washington that woke up one morning and said, I can't afford to provide the things for my wife that I feel like she deserves, right? Not only have you created a future for you and your family, but then you're also able to turn around and bless other people in the process.
That's what it's about, man.
That's absolutely awesome. I love that. That's probably one of my favorite stories on this show so far. And we're 500 and something episodes in. So that's awesome. Hey, talk to us about how you are. I mean, I know, you know, leading with the servant's mindset sounds like one of the ways that you're finding opportunity. But talk to us even, you know, maybe a little bit more tactically even than that. What are some ways you're finding deals right now that make sense for you?
Yeah, 100%, man. So again, when I got started, I surrounded myself with investors. And what I realized when I kept getting in these rooms with these investors is everybody had the same problem. This is pre the market going crazy. Everybody was like, you can't find deals. There's no good deals. Where are the deals? I want to buy. I can't buy. Right. And so I just said, all right, well, if I can get good at that, I know I got a room full of people here who want to buy deals. So I figure I could make money no matter what, as long as I get good at finding the deals. And so this was 4 years ago, mail seemed like the most affordable strategy for me at the time. Right. And it fit my personality. And so that's what I tell people. When you're going to pick one of these off-market deal finding strategies, like, fit one you can afford to fund properly, and pick one that your personality will allow you to stick with, right? Like, if you're not a guy who can be comfortable making cold calls, like, don't pick cold calls as your strategy, because you're going to say, I'm going to make 100 calls today, and you're going to get cursed out in the first two, and then you're not going to do anything, right? Then you're going to stop, right? Like, so right. You didn't make enough calls to get you a deal.
Right.
And so I knew I didn't want to make cold calls. It's never been my thing, but I was okay sending mail and having people call me, and then I still get cursed out. But it's just easier for me to deal with when somebody is calling me because they're interested in the piece of mail that I sent them. And so I knew, I was like, all right, I can do that strategy and stick with it, and I can afford to fund it properly, right? At that time in my market, all you needed to send was about 1,000 pieces of mail, and you probably get a deal or two. Now that's not, I mean, the market's, you know, more saturated. You got to send more mail. And so I use direct mail when I got started, and I still do direct mail. I'm pretty real estate old school when it comes to marketing. I know in the past 4 years, people have gone to text messages, and they did ringless voicemails for a while. And, you know, cold calls always been a strategy, and door knocking, but mail has worked for me in my market. And so I do mail, and I've recently transitioned into cold calling now that There's so many businesses out there who specialize in helping real estate investors find deals. And so I was able to connect with a cold caller who are a company that basically cold calls for you. They're bringing me tons of leads. And so I've got a cold caller and I do direct mail and I've got more leads than I know what to do with.
That's absolutely fantastic. I mean, you said you're closing on 5 more doors here today.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those all single family. Is there ever any intention of going into small multifamily or kind of growing that side of the business?
Phenomenal question. These are, today I'm closing on 2 duplexes and a single. And I'm keeping the single I may sell down the road. There's a tenant in it that's paying and takes care of the house. So I don't plan on doing anything with them. But if they move out, maybe I'll sell it. So yeah, man, I love the small multifamily to single family space. Mm. Here's why. Again, it kind of ties into what we talked about earlier. Like when you get into the large multifamily space, it becomes less about people and more about the P&L, right? How's the asset performing? How do I decrease expenses and increase income to improve my NOI, right? Because you're basically buying a business and then people are looking to sell that business to the top bidder, to right. somebody who wants to plant money and just live off that cash flow. And it should be treated like a business. I'm not saying it shouldn't be. What I'm saying is that doesn't give me the warm fuzzies, right? What gives me the warm fuzzies about real estate is being able to take these small multis to single family homes that are embedded in these neighborhoods and these communities. And sometimes they're eyesores, right? And I'm able to take these things and improve the neighborhood, but at the same time, still provide affordable housing for the people in that neighborhood. So I'm not pricing people out, right? I'm able to take something that's been a problem in your neighborhood, turn it into something beautiful, and then allow you to live in it without having to leave your neighborhood because it's not an overpriced asset because it's still in the single family, the small multifamily space, right? It's not valued based on the income it produces. It's valued based on comps. Whereas large multifamily, if I increase the value, that price is going up and it should, right? So I love being able to provide affordable housing for my community. I love being able to fix the problem properties in my community and then give people another place that they can enjoy. I love driving by the houses that we've renovated and sold and seeing families playing in the yards. Like it's just, it gives me the warm fuzzies, man.
That's absolutely fantastic. I love that. And it goes back to the conversation we keep repeating, but it's the giver's gain.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
That's fantastic. What would you say has been the most liberating aspect for you personally becoming financially successful?
Oh man, the most liberating aspect is, you know, I tell people the best part about financial freedom is the freedom, not the finances. It's liberating not having to, like, I don't have to worry about like not spending time with my family. If I need to travel, just take them.
Right.
And so like before in my 9-to-5 days, if I had to travel for work, you know, it was just me. And I wasn't even thinking about, well, let me fly my wife and my 2 kids and a nanny to watch my kids out. Like that goes from 1 ticket to 5 tickets, right? Like that's expensive,
right?
It's not even an option. But now if I'm like, man, I got to travel, you know what? Hey, y'all, let's go, right? And we all just go, you know, I'll bring my wife, my kids, my sister-in-law. She watches the kids when we travel. We pay her for that. And so everybody just goes. And then we all get to enjoy traveling and seeing the country. And, you know, the financial part of it affords us the freedom to do that as a family. And we don't have to be apart. And it's pretty awesome.
Man, Henry, that's great. Thank you for taking the time to come on today, sharing a little bit about your business and a lot about the mindset and kind of the ethos that you adhere to that apparently keeps your business running in a very efficient manner. So I love all that. Thank you.
Thank you.
And last question for you is this. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah, man. The best way to get a hold of me is to find me on Instagram. I'm at the Henry Washington on Instagram. And then, you know, I kind of hang my hat on being able to buy deals with banks' money. And so I use small local banks for everything. I can finance them pretty much at 100%. And it's not some like super, you know, secret hard thing to do. And so if you want to learn more about that, I've got a whole free book at henrywashington.com that'll show you exactly how I finance deals at 100%.
That's awesome. Henry, thank you again. Have a great rest of your day.
Hey, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, That would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.